Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to The Upswing. We're all about the future on Thursdays. The future of almost everything in business in the wonderful state of Wisconsin. The future of events, work, products, specifically for today's show, franchises, restaurants, viral moments, social media, thank you notes. Yes. What are the future of thank you notes? That's going to be a really fun discussion. Wait around to the end of the show. We'll get to that. You're going to get to learn a little bit about everything on The Upswing. That's what we're all about. We're about conversations with people that care and do. And our doers are back today. So we're going to get right to it with our always special Thursday guests and our friends, Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Steve Glenn is the Chief Milwaukee Officer. I love that title so much.
Thank you.
At Experience Milwaukee and Text MKE. Martin Moore is content creator, podcaster, all things marketing and filmmaking at Koss Headphones. But first, just a little bit of breaking news, if you will. I saw this on the Milwaukee Business Journal's website just recently. An open-to-the-public convenience store with a beverage bar, sandwich spot, and bakery counter is planned on the ground floor of Northwestern Mutual's main downtown Milwaukee tower. This according to Teddy Nichol at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Life insurance company also plans to move the tower's Starbucks and add a public entrance and an outdoor patio. Kind of meeting employees where they are, I think is a really good thing. You know, no matter what the employee base is, and we've heard a lot about that in the upswing in the first 3 weeks, companies relocating to downtown, adding to the workforce, subtracting a little bit. It's kind of a never-ending churn, but adding convenience stores to meet an employee need, especially east of the river in downtown Milwaukee, I think is a really good thing. So that's a little bit of something that we just learned and a little bit of look into the future of what maybe dining could mean in downtown Milwaukee. But I wanted to start the show in this kind of this first block. Tell me something, Steve Glenn and Martin Moore, maybe that I don't know about the future of business in the state of Wisconsin. And that gives you a lot of platitude there with that question. But Martin, you're up first.
Oh, boy, I wasn't prepared for that question. Hey, Jeff, can I ask you a personal question real quick before we get into this? How far do you think you can jump?
Oh, man. Yeah. Are we looking vertical or
horizontal? I mean, obviously, you have to get a little verticality.
Yeah, the long jump?
Yeah.
Man.
I bet it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was.
6, 7 feet, maybe?
I think I'm there. I had to leap over this puddle to get onto the sidewalk.
You landed dead
on Wisconsin Avenue. And I was genuinely shocked that I was able to clear not only the puddle, but then make it onto the curb. I felt like I could compete in the Olympics. So it's the morning is starting off awesome,
right? Yeah.
What was the question?
Well, I want to know something about the future that you know that we don't.
Of business?
Yeah.
Business?
You said you had really deep, deep thoughts about the TSA process.
Oh, yeah. So the TSA is going to do like a self-service check-in, which sort of seems like the antithesis of what like the TSA and Homeland Security was initially set up to do. Like, I get that we get all of our background checks and everything like that, but at some point, like, people shouldn't be allowed to police themselves or something like that. And so it's kind of interesting, but it's basically just like a kiosk where you go up, you scan your ID, and you basically just go. You basically do what the TSA agent does when you go to the airport. You know, you stand in line. They ask to scan your ticket, your ID. They take a look at you. So I'm assuming these little kiosks will just do that. Scan your ID, takes a picture, retinal scans, boom, it's you, and then you go through. I don't hate the idea, but I don't know. Part of me wonders, is someone going to figure out a way to circumvent it? And,
For the reason why convenience matters, we're going to get back with Steve Glenn's thoughts on that.
Ooh.
We'll be back with the future of franchises and a whole lot more. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We'll be right back. We're back. Fast forward, Wisconsin. The future of almost everything in Wisconsin with two experts that know the trends, the technology, and all about talent. more than anyone, Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. I want to talk about the future of franchises. There's been a lot of franchise business news in the state of Wisconsin lately. Journal Sentinel reporting the last couple of weeks that Take 5 Car Wash in Waukesha has had a ton of challenges. People can't cancel their memberships. The company and the corporation has apologized, but there's just a lot of challenges without having the local control. You know, Dollar Tree and Family Dollar, which I think Dollar Tree acquired Family Dollar for $8 billion a decade ago. And now there's news that they're going to close more than 1,000 stores across the country, and there's some local control challenges. You know, franchises are kind of either thought of this like mom and pop type thing, like, ooh, we're going to buy a franchise and open it in our community. Or they're seen as these mega companies with locations all across the state that, you know, are kind of all the same, but owned by corporate entities, and the local community isn't quite sure how to plug in.
Yeah.
And right. I'm also seeing on the entrepreneurial side, people saying, all right, the franchise road is a place for me because it's an easy way to have a template to employment.
Blueprint,
what are you
right?
seeing in this space, Steve?
Yeah, so do either of you get messages to open a franchise?
Well,
all the time, right?
You know, I get a lot of spam email and the, hey, Martin, like, I just want to follow up on our conversation that we never had. Would you like to open up a Starbucks? I haven't never gotten one. Do you?
I get really more sincere, more legitimate, would you like to start a franchise? So they're aggressive. Like, the franchise ecosystem is pretty aggressive in how they spread. So I've heard you need some certain number of franchises before you start turning that into positive revenue, positive profit.
Yeah.
And, so what I'm seeing is curiosity in specifically around restaurant franchises, curiosity around bringing lots of new concepts in, but by players, not individuals, not the mom and pop, players that you might not think would bring these types of businesses into the community, but will.
Yeah. Well, Wisconsin isn't in the top 10 in terms of franchise growth, but we're in the top 10 for franchiser owner salaries. So once you get past the initial outlay, there's an opportunity to create an income stream for you and your family, but you got to have the capital to open a new spot.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's interesting that some of the business owners who have one location in Milwaukee are now looking at how do we expand maybe even outside of our border through franchise models. But I know we're going to get into saturation. It's an issue of how many places we have around this city.
Yeah, and so much of the franchise business is around kind of that quick service or the quick service restaurant concept.
Right.
And you know, we're pretty blessed to have multiple unit restaurant owners in Wisconsin that are looking to create new locations in suburbs. And that's definitely a trend we're seeing on the restaurant space, too.
Yeah, but I mean, the franchise, it appears the franchise space around keeping your grass green is just exploding right now with the number of new businesses, new people knocking at doors and looking to expand.
I participate in that.
Yeah, there you go.
The turf wars have already started in my subdivision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The future of franchises, I think, is very, very bright. I think in 2023, which was last year, right?
Yes.
I think as a whole, there was about 254,000 new franchise locations that were started. And, you know, for the most part, franchises it's a small business. I mean, you look at something like a Starbucks or a McDonald's or even like a big national car wash. And it's like, you look at these and you think these are these giant multi-billion dollar corporations, which they are, but the people who own these things, it's a small business. You know, they have less than 50, 30, 40 employees. And, you know, with inflation and with, you know, trying to raise minimum wage and all that, it's going to be interesting to see how the future of franchises plays out in the next 10, 15, 20 years. But it's definitely interesting seeing the growth because, as far as I know, you don't need a college education or anything to start a franchise. And it's a great way if you have that entrepreneurial mindset to get into small business, and not even just like small business, but like getting something like a Culver's or a Starbucks.
Money.
Yeah, that's huge. That feels very more substantial than starting your own, you know, company that weed whacks and mows lawns. And
I have a friend that's looking into a packaging business that isn't in the market yet. So he's kind of going through all the analysis, and it seems like a really good opportunity, but it's something he's passionate about already. So sure. He sees, wow, here's a template in front of me. It makes it easier for me to start a business without having to kind of do all the work
that's
myself.
That's the nice thing, because when you, as someone who started, I mean, it was a photography business I had, but it wasn't a McDonald's, but it's a lot of work to try and figure out how to navigate the legality of everything and all the permits you have to get and just taxes and all of that stuff. So to have sort of that roadmap in front of you, to have a handbook on how to start a franchise, I think it makes it much more accessible to people who may want to have their own business but kind of don't know where to plant their feet initially.
All right. The future of almost everything, Fast Forward Wisconsin. Up next, restaurants. We're hearing a lot about saturation and growth at the same time. I wanna figure out what that's all about. This is The Upswing. We'll be right back. A little rainy outside today. This is The Upswing, but it's always sunshine and smiles here at The Upswing with Steve Glenn and Martin Moore joining us on Thursdays, as always, to talk about the future of almost everything. I want to talk about restaurants, a bunch of things that I'm seeing. I saw a really good post on Reddit lately, or a couple weeks ago, about what businesses do you want to see in the state of Wisconsin, and 3/4 of the answers were restaurants. I think we all have our favorite go-to restaurant. You know, that one or two that are like, hey, these are our consistent choices. We all love food and we love the service there, the design or whatever it is. But I get the sense that we all long for more choices and options in our cities. But at the same time, you know, dining habits are really changing. And I think we may, in some markets, be getting to this oversaturation point, at least from a labor perspective. But I don't know. I wanted to get your thoughts on dining and options in our fine community. I know, Steve, you're doing some work through Experience Milwaukee in terms of mapping out what the neighborhoods have and maybe looking at what do they really need.
Right. We've been so just in the time we spend in the community and at number of places every day, all week long, looking at – and so what we're hearing and seeing is there's – you get the normal sort of crowds on normal days and hours, but even ownership is talking about saturation. There's a lot of places, new places opening up all the time. So yeah, we're looking at mapping all the restaurants, bars, and places like that in the different neighborhoods to see what those numbers really look like.
Are you seeing a move at all to, you know, I think back in like the early 2000s, we had so much content shifting in the dining world from strictly reviews to more profiles, more eater type sites, national dining sites, obviously social media. I think that's created this heightened sense of, whoa, dining is everywhere and maybe there's too much of it.
I don't know about you, Martin. I can't open a stream anywhere without getting someone stretching a mozzarella stick or doing something at a restaurant in Milwaukee.
I like that you said stretching a mozzarella stick. Because I swear, if I don't see someone stretching a mozzarella stick on Instagram or Twitter at least 3 times a day, I'm wondering what's going on with the internet.
Yeah, it's content is everywhere and it's coming from everyone. And it's I wonder if it's helping restaurants or not, because from my experience, the people like to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's so many options. Does that sort of cause a paralysis in getting out there and doing something in the city?
Yeah. My suggestion as a restaurant goer, make a list and always have it with you so that you are kind of doing your best to be a good corporate citizen, community citizen, and going to different places, because convenience drives so much of in our lives and we're just going to go to the same couple
and
places.
Habits, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think when we talk about the future of, though, one little thing I want to drop, farms in the city and where these places are getting their produce, I think that's going to be a significant trend, significant impact on the future of restaurants.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, the farm-to-table movement and coming into urban areas is definitely something that to keep an eye on. What I'm looking at this Reddit post that had 314 responses. What businesses do you wish existed in the state of Wisconsin? Korean barbecue, rotating sushi on a conveyor belt. Martin, you ever had that? and Japanese grocery, In-N-Out burgers to our franchise talk, more rooftop dining drinking destinations,
yes,
a Navy Pier type development,
yes,
beach bar type development,
yes, yes,
and a large Central Park or Market Square. I think in many ways we have a lot of those in greater Milwaukee, but you can see from the consumer standpoint, people are asking for more.
I'm going to tell you what I want, and I've wanted this for a long time. And I thought, I thought on Valentine's Day when me and Jen went out to dinner, I thought I had found it, but I was disappointed. I want a real sushi bar, one that I sit down at.
He's
they're making the sushi right in front of me. I order a glass of wine, like a cab, maybe a nice little Pinot, something like that. I get a roll. I get another roll. I have another glass of wine. And I just sit there and at a sushi bar. And I got to do that in Vegas, and it was amazing. And so we went to this place on Oakland Avenue. I can't remember what it was called. But they had a bar in it. So, like, we got in there and sat in it. The chairs obviously had never been sat in ever because they were, like, wobbly. There was a bike, like, sitting against the bar. They had no idea how to service drinks. And I was like, man. But that's what I want. Actual sushi bars where I sit at the bar and drink and order a roll one at a time.
No matter what's coming in terms of the future of restaurants, it's all about the experience. The experience truly, truly matters. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the viral nature of the word viral and how is it changing. Because it is. It truly is. And we're going to talk more about social media and much more. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, our Thursday future of almost everything guests, Martin Moore and Steve Glenn. We're going to talk content creation, how you amplify it, and how you make it relevant. The Washington Post recently had a really good feature on the term viral and its nearly meaningless definition today. You know, the volume of content being churned out every day, and Martin Moore knows this more than anyone, it's skyrocketed, right? And the life cycle of each piece has grown shorter and shorter. So
it ain't long.
That's right.
I won't put it in the long category.
And you have the kind of these inflated public metrics and devaluing all these previously really impressive online stats. So what do you recommend in terms of creating regular business content to make it have legs?
This is a conversation that I'm very passionate about because I hate viral content used to be fun and interesting back in the day, but now everything you see on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook,
even
and
LinkedIn.
MySpace and LinkedIn and Blue Sky, it's all engagement bait. It's all clickbait. It's people's saying things just to get you to click through so they can get some ad rev. There's a lot of freeboot. You know what freebooting is?
No, I don't.
You see this every day on social media. Freebooting is basically taking, let's say someone posts a picture of a bunch of kittens. There's the one where like the dude was running with his camera and kittens were like chasing him around on the ground, whatever. People will take that and then they'll upload it to Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook. So every time you're on Instagram Reels and you see someone post a thing in their story and it's got the little TikTok logo, that was a viral video on TikTok that someone made and then someone stole it. And then there's people and brands and accounts getting clout and followers and brand deals and ad rev off of this content.
Yeah,
and
then it's kind of fake boosting.
By the time it gets pulled or you know, there's a takedown notice on it from the original creator, they've already made their money. They've already done their damage. And so we see so much of that, stealing content and then, you know, cross-sharing it on platforms. And that's what really bugs me because there's a lot of good creators out there. There's some really talented creators out there that have made a big name for themselves. And I just don't, I'm not a big fan. I've never subscribed to, you know, short format, short time span video because people spend a lot of time making this content. Right. And for it to only live 24 hours is, in my opinion, it's a waste. It's a waste of talent.
And back in the day, we kind of had a, you know, 1 million views was a thing.
It's nothing.
And now 20 million views kind of has to become the norm, especially on something like YouTube, if you really want to.
There's golden retrievers on Instagram that have a million views.
What are you seeing in the local space, Steve, in terms of social reach?
Yeah, so I see a lot of somewhere in the middle of where Martin was saying from original content to people just kind of abusing things that go viral and reusing it.
Or copying it. Straight up copying
it, right?
Like shuffle dances?
Yeah, yes. So somewhere in the middle, there's a lot of reposting, but crediting the creator in a way that is growing audience share across other platforms locally, right? That are allowing some entities to get some attention and go a little bit viral just because they're being a community sport and sharing sort of, we've even tried it, sharing the highlights of the previous week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sharing is definitely a good strategy, but if you're creating that content in-house in your marketing department, you got to be diligent with it, and you got to make sure that there's enough kind of scratch an itch to make sure that it's worth the time, right?
Totally. Yeah, a lot of POVs, a lot of people sharing sort of their night out. What does a Wednesday night look like in Milwaukee? Those things are doing really well.
I love
right
that.
Now. Yeah.
Another thing that really bugs me is going back to, you know, people stealing content. It doesn't even have to be something visual like a video or an image. People steal tweets. Like, you see a lot of viral tweets, and all you got to do is just copy and paste that into the search, and you can find the original tweet. Mm-hmm. And that actually just happened to a really big Milwaukee Bucks account on Twitter a couple weeks ago. Someone else shared their exact same tweet about Joel Embiid, and the tweet blew up, and the dude was like, dude, you just stole my, you know, you're plagiarizing me. And that kind of stuff's infuriating.
Well, that's what we want to talk about when we come up back after the break. Really, the future of all the platforms. Obviously, a lot of talk about TikTok. I want to get your insights there. We'll be right back. This is The Upswing. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, joining us on a Thursday. Smiling through a Thursday here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, the future of almost everything. We're talking social media. To me, social media has always been media. Jason Parnham, though, from Wired said, the life cycle of social internet is one of tenacious rebirth. And it could be that just my current frustration is about having to start over. Are we doomed to rebuild our digital presence every few years as platforms die out and new ones are replaced? Obviously, the TikTok discussion is at the center here, the House, with, I think, a lot of urgency. Passed a bill to give ByteDance 180 days to sell its U.S. TikTok operation to an interest outside of China. After that deadline, if it doesn't happen, they're going to force companies like Apple and Google and other tech companies to stop serving TikTok in their app or their web hosting services or face massive fines. What's Martin
passed by 350 plus votes to like 50.
Obviously, the next step in the Senate
will be a little trickier.
Will be a little trickier. But the president has said he would sign it. So, what's the future of TikTok, Martin?
I don't know. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I have friends who their entire living is off of TikTok, and it might sound ridiculous, but they make really good money. They don't have a day job. This is all they do is they make content on TikTok. I have people that do it for YouTube, and so. This isn't just, you know, banning an app where you have people doing shuffle dances and cats doing funny things. Right. This is the livelihood for hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of people.
And small businesses.
Yeah, and small businesses. I mean, there's a lot of small businesses where they only thrive on TikTok. And maybe that's their mistake for throwing all their chips in one social media platform. But that being said, it is interesting that, what is it, ByteDance who owns TikTok?
Yes.
It's interesting that, you know, because they're a Chinese company, it's not like we don't have the receipts for China spying on American citizens. So it's not out of the realm of possibility Chinese government could just be like, hey, we want, you know, the user data of whatever it is, 150 million Americans, and they'd have to give it over. It is a concern. And so I understand why it's been banned in certain states for, you know, Senate users and House users. And I get why they're trying to protect the American consumer. But people are going to bypass it anyways. You can get a VPN. Kids are going to figure out how to circumvent the ban. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I wish we had some concrete evidence that there has been spying going on or there's been something nefarious going on. But we don't. It's all kind of just like hypothesis theory.
Yeah. Well, at the heart of all of it, social media is work. And for small businesses, it is something that is on the plate each and every day. And
it's part of what I do.
It's part of their marketing and promotion. I think that gets lost in a lot of these conversations.
Agreed. Yeah, there's it's tremendous. And we talked on the last segment about the life cycle of a piece of content. It's not very long. You get done, you know, pat yourself on the back and you're right back at it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a grind.
Yeah. Yeah. It just never stops. So, and you're also seeing that. You look at the power users, you know, maybe the top 10% of many of these platforms are making all the content and the rest of the people are just consuming and sharing.
I think Twitter is something like 7% of all of the content or all of the content that's created on Twitter mm-hmm. is by like 7% of the users. Like everyone else is just
reading.
Is just reading.
Yeah.
So like I'm one of 7% of people who actually contribute, that where stuff's getting shared and liked and all that kind of stuff and talked about and engaged with. Like that's a mind-boggling statistic.
Yeah. So quickly before we go to break, how does it pan out? TikTok, does it get sold to another entity, or does it just kind of play out in the courts until it evolves into something new?
I feel like I have a pretty good insight into the future of a lot of things, but that is just one where I feel like it could go either way. Either way, whatever happens is not going to be.
There's too much.
It's not going to be good.
There's too much money involved. It's got to find a way to stick through.
Yeah, that's at the heart of all of it. All right, we'll come back for a final segment. This is The Upswing. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday. The future of almost everything. Welcome back. The future goes fast on The Upswing, doesn't it? Another fun and lively conversation today. But quickly, I want to give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, we live in the North Shore of Milwaukee, but the Mineshaft in Hartford, it's a pretty easy drive for us, 35, 40 minutes. And it's really good for us to get the kids out of the gaming room, get them away from their Xbox into the huge $2 million game room like the one at the Mineshaft. There's great pizza, too. Mom and Dad can either hang out at the table alone or at the bar together, and we know the kids can go to the game room and be safe and have a good time. So caller number, Martin?
6?
6 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. So, Stephen Martin.
Yes.
Thank you notes. You're both busy. Martin said your schedule is just packed today, so I appreciate you taking an hour
ideal.
Out of your time.
Anytime I have to scroll through my calendar events list for one day is not a good day.
So I was going back and forth with some people here in the office about this the other day. Like, how do you handle follow-ups and networking and thank you notes? I have a system.
So do I.
Don't always do it perfectly, but I strive to. But I think there's a little bit of a – I saw this in the Wall Street Journal last week – writing a thank you note requires keeping track of who needs thanking, crafting a message that strikes the right tone, thoughtful but succinct, neither florid nor terse, to say nothing of hunting down all the mailing addresses, finding a stamp. How much are stamps? Where do you get stamps? Do you do handwritten thank you notes anymore, Steve Glenn?
No, I don't.
No?
I haven't in so long. I do two things. I do thank you texts.
Okay.
Because that it seems to, it, so far it's working.
Yeah.
And I do thank you, and I know this is more work than a note, thank you show-ups. I show up and thank with a thing that means something to that person.
Mm, ooh, yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, so I skip the note part because I don't even know where we have stamps.
Yeah, well, that's reminding me your birthday gift is still sitting on my desk at home. And, you know, one of these days when we see each other in person, like right now, yeah. I'll get it to you. Yeah.
I just realized I do write thank you notes every week. So for costs, one of my jobs is to work with like influencers, and so I'll ship out a lot of headphones and stuff like that. And we have these little cards that have like the logo on there, and I will write a thank you note and enjoy the headphones and some little thing. And I do that multiple times a week. Boy, I didn't even realize how much I actually write.
Yeah, it's got to be put on your calendar. I find that exactly.
The handwriting leaves a lot to be desired.
Right.
But I do. I write them. I forgot I do that.
So every guest on the show gets the post. They get a text. They get an email. And I want to add a handwritten note. And it hasn't happened in the first 3 weeks of the show.
Sure.
So I'm really sorry, but it's going to happen. Yeah. I had a boss that had this 5, 10, 15 program, basically an organized system that provided a structure and like personal accountability. 5 means that he had to do his best to have 5 meetings or encounters every day with new people.
Mm.
10 wow. meant that he wanted to send out 10 letters or pieces of correspondence on personal stationery every single day.
Whoa.
And then 15 meant that he had to have a minimum of 15 new outreaches and phone calls in the sales process each and every day.
Yeah.
Now, he had a great coworker
and
me that could help him out.
Yeah.
But having a system like that, I think, for your day-to-day thank yous can be really helpful.
Yeah. So what you're saying to me is also that's part of business development, right? And so
correct.
I spend 2 to 4 hours every Saturday just on outreach. And that is my weekly I'm gonna do that 15 new connections. But
yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's several hundred, but
right.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to do with LinkedIn or whatever platform right. you're using. But do you find if you get the handwritten thank you note that it means more? Or are you just like, oh, you know, they shouldn't have probably taken the time because it doesn't really, there's no difference in my world between the text, the email, the LinkedIn message, and the handwritten note.
I think it does. I remember when DJ Shauna once sent me a thank you note for something. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, oh, that was nice.
I equally show off any thank you I get, whether it's on my phone yes. or on something physical. But I do, I have a box full of thank yous and notes and things from the years.
Yeah.
There'd be a cool wall to put up, yep. like in an office.
That's right.
It's like a pinboard wall with all the thank you notes on there.
See, that's it. That's what the Upswing's all about. Conversations with people that care and do and still write handwritten thank you notes. That's a beautiful thing. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow, we'll have a great conversation about marketing Milwaukee with Visit Milwaukee and the Vice President of Marketing and Communications at the Baird Center.